God. Well, that music takes you back to the Brownsville Revival several years ago. I might have mentioned this a few weeks ago. I think I did Sunday night. By the way, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we have Bible study here for adults. I've been taking you through the Bible. I think it's important from time to time to just give you an overview of the content that the Bible has. So many of us, you know, we've been serving the Lord for many years, but it's amazing how many folks know so little about the content of some of the books of the Bible. So what I've been doing on Sunday nights, gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and I'm trying to illustrate to you the importance of each one of the books of the Bible, why we have it, and some of the really exciting things, some things that you might pass over that you need to focus on. And tonight will be no exception, and we're going to be, Joshua is on the schedule for tonight, but we've been having some good discussions. So whether you're a young Christian or a seasoned Christian, if you would like to get in on this study, I encourage you, 6 o'clock Sunday night. We have a little bit of time for some testimonies, but then we get right into the Word, and it's been very refreshing and good. And to rehearse again a lot of the important things that we have in God's Word. And I'm trying to do as an overview. It's not exhaustive. It's not meant to be exhaustive. It's meant to be an overview, to kind of give you an orientation to each of the books and why we have it in Scripture. So if you want to learn some things about God's Word, maybe some things you have never heard before concerning the Word of God, and some of these very important events, you come Sunday night, 6 o'clock. We have all of our children's ministries at that time also. And along those lines, and God always has a way of preparing for our times together from week to week, and I believe the testimonies that have been given already and things that we have focused on fit right in with what God has laid on my heart for this morning. And I'm going to direct your attention to the book of James, the 5th chapter, and I'm just going to read a few verses that we find in the book of James. And then I'll be making some comments on these verses. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7, and I'm going to read down through verse 12. By the way, if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible of your own, personal Bible, we will get you one. I just was able to purchase a number of Bibles. It's a modern it's a newer translation, very accurate and an excellent little Bible. Easy to understand, so we'll make sure you have a Bible if you don't have one. It won't cost you anything. We'll give it to you. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Let us ask the Lord to anoint his word to us this morning. Father, we thank you for the eternal word of God. Everything we know in this life, one day will pass away. The only thing that will endure forever is the word of the Lord. And we thank you for the eternal word. And today I pray that you would anoint it by your Holy Spirit, speak into our lives. Help us to understand your ways and to do your divine will, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak on this subject, let God be God. Let God be God. I want to ask you this question. Are you a fixer? Are you a fixer? In other words, do you constantly feel the urge to fix or remedy the problems of situations you or someone else is facing? Are you frustrated with the way things are? Do you find yourself always wanting to fix it, whether it involves you or someone else? Just frustrated. You've got to fix it. There are fixers in this world. And you know whether or not you're one of them. I believe there are fixers right here in this congregation this morning. I want to speak most directly to you, but I think all of us will learn some things today. A man by the name of James Messina, he has a PhD, he's a psychologist, and he wrote an article that I found fascinating, and I want to share some of this information with you today. It was entitled, Overcoming the Need to Fix. Overcoming the Need to Fix. And this man who has his doctorate in psychology, he's a licensed psychologist, he has more than 35 years experience. He counsels adults and families, and he specializes in adult and child psychotherapy. He is the head of that department in a children's hospital down in Florida. And so he has a lot of experience. And so he wrote this article, Overcoming the Need to Fix. And I read through it. I thought, you know, you got to hear some of the things he says. What is it? This idea of the need to fix, that characteristics. According to Dr. Messina, he defines the need to fix a personality trait that some have. It not only affects you, but it has an impact on your relationship with others. What is it? He gives 11 examples of how relationships are affected. He said, the need to fix is compulsively driven behavior to rescue or help another person, place, or thing to be the way you believe it should be. He also says it could be seeing another person, place, or thing as in need, and the automatic response pattern to this message. It's also a belief that unless everything is just right for another person, then that person can never fully be happy in life. It sometimes can be defined as an obsessive need to have everything, person, place, perfect or correct, in order for you to be comfortable enough to be relaxed and accepting of them. It also could be the inability to accept people, places, or things the way they are, and the chronic attempt at changing them, even if they are unchangeable, you still want to change them. It can be acting on the belief that you have more knowledge than others as to what is good for them, so you strive to correct their thinking to, quote-unquote, see the light in your way. It can be the inability to maintain emotional detachment from a person, place, or thing that is hurting or in trouble. You proceed to fix them, even if this means that they are hindered from personal growth and accepting personal responsibility for their own actions. You still want to proceed. It also could be described as an inability to not give advice, suggestions, or offers of help, even when you know in doing so that it will hinder another person's growth and personal mastery in life. It's sometimes defined as the interfering in business and personal affairs to help people even when they haven't asked for your help or assistance. They haven't even asked you, and you just go ahead and give them the advice you think they need anyways. It is also defined as being the drive to feel needed or wanted, which leads you to become overly involved and responsible in your relationships with persons, places, and things. It can also be described as the result of a pattern of getting approval and recognition from others for helping in the past with the belief that this is the only way you can have a meaning in life. All those things. Wanting to be involved and to get involved and to fix it. And It can apply to your personal life. You face these things and you just got to fix it. Or you see it in someone else's life and you just feel you've got to fix it. You've got to fix it. It can be a very frustrating thing. It can be a very frustrating way to live, to be a fixer. One who always wants to, you just got to get it right. And I just somehow got to be involved to do that. Let me just speak to you for a few moments on the value of patience as I've read it here in this passage in James, because it speaks to this kind of a personality trait as well as others. The fact that some people, they just can't wait. And they tend to be impetuous and they just cannot wait. And when you apply it to your spiritual walk, do you know that God works in time? Now we know that God is not restricted by time. We know that He is eternal, but He works in time. And that's one of the great mysteries we face. How does that which is eternal, how does He work in time? We say that, a day is as a thousand with the Lord. Time doesn't really have the same meaning to God that it has with us. Some of us look at ourselves in the mirror and we realize that time is passing us by, and we remember what we used to look like a few years ago, and we look in the mirror and we say, we don't look that way anymore. And it's a visual realization that comes upon us that, time is passing. We are creatures of time, and we feel like something's got to be done about it. People spend millions upon millions of dollars every year to do something about themselves. It could be dieting, It could be plastic surgery. It could be a lot of things. It could be education. Why? Because they feel the urgency. We are captives of time, and we feel like we just got to do something. It can be very frustrating when you're in the work of the Lord. You come to the realization, as a Christian, as a child of God, there are some life experiences you face that cannot be resolved as quickly as you would like it to be. That's one of the hard realizations. But doesn't prayer change things? Yes, it does. Can't God do anything? Yes, He can. Can He do things immediately? Yes, He can. Then He ought to do it right now. Well, He may and He may not. You say, why? That's because God is God. And if God did everything you challenged Him to do and said He ought to do, you'd be God. You'd be manipulating Him. So one of the things that I sometimes share with people when we talk about unanswered prayer, all prayers are answered. They're just not always answered the way we like them to be. And we tend to think that those that aren't answered the way we like them to be, they're not answered. No, they're answered. You just have to get comfortable with what the answer is. That's all. And we're not willing to do that oftentimes, because if it doesn't go our way or the way we think it ought to be, we then pass it off. It's just not answered. Oh, no. It's been answered. You just have to understand the ways of God are not your ways. You've got to let God be God. You've got to allow God that's in your life to reveal Himself the way He wants to, and to be patient before Him. That's a virtue that we probably all of us could use a little more of. Patience. To let God be God, and realize there are going to be some things I'm going to experience in life that cannot be resolved as fast as I'd like them to be resolved. It's just not going to happen overnight. Some things do, but not everything happens overnight. And realize that God works through time and circumstances. And it's hard for us sometimes. We read something in God's Word, and it's hard for us to accept that God works through time and He works through circumstances. And when you talk about circumstances, you have to allow some things to evolve. By definition, circumstances are such as, you know, it's the way things are at the moment, the circumstances of life. And they may seem to be one thing right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to always be that way. And you've got to allow God to reveal that to you. Don't get impatient. Don't be a fixer. Don't go into the fixer mode. Oh, I got to fix. You got to do something. Please, let's just do something. And that's the urge that many people have. And sometimes God would speak into our lives and say, you need to just wait upon the Lord. Whatever happened to waiting upon the Lord? Do we know what the definition of wait is? What it means to wait? Wait means wait. Stop, look, and listen, and be aware of where you are, but just to wait upon God. And those of us who grew up in Pentecostal circles, that was a virtue that we used to hear preached from the pulpit. A lot of people used to say, we need to wait upon the Lord. And why do we do that? Because when you wait upon the Lord, your strength is renewed. You can be impetuous. You can dive right in there and try to change things and then not have the strength to fulfill what you feel God wants to have done. Or you can wait upon God and let Him renew your strength. Let Him renew your strength. Let Him renew your vision. Let Him renew your sense of purpose. Perhaps give you a vision of what He wants to accomplish. There are things that you can discover in waiting before the Lord that you'll never discover any other way. I used to think about that from time to time. You know, the monastic life and some of those who committed themselves to a life of prayer and meditation all the time. I'm thinking, you know, and I pray, and I'm sure you have too, but after a while you kind of run out of things to pray about, and yet here you have people that they commit their lives to prayer and meditation, continual prayer and meditation, and then we have reports of tremendous things and insight that they gain from Scripture and things that have been written from some of these men and women of God over the time who have felt it a call to devote themselves to prayer and meditation upon the things that are waiting before God, waiting before God. There are some things you will learn that you will never learn any other way. You have to take the time to wait. That's the problem. But it takes time. Yeah, I know. But I don't have the time. That's your problem. You don't have the time. You never have enough time. Most people who say that never have enough time. And they're going in all kinds of different directions, trying to do it all at the same time. There is something to be said for the contemplative, meditative life where one will say, you know, I need to just wait before the Lord. And listen. Let His Spirit begin to work in my soul. Let His Spirit begin to work in me. We need to stop telling God what He ought to do and listen to God and have Him speak into us so that we know what He wants us to do. There's a difference, you know. And some of us are so busy telling God what we want Him to do, we cannot hear the voice of God. That's trying to speak to us and get to the barriers that we've erected because of the busyness of our lives. We get frustrated because things take time and don't realize that it's in those moments that God can work things in us that otherwise could never be worked out. Some things, because we are creatures of time, some things just take time. And we have to allow God to be God in the midst of it all. The value of patience before the Lord and waiting before the Lord. A preacher was known for his poise under pressure, but he struggled with impatience. I'm not speaking of myself, though my wife might concur that it applies. But he was struggling with impatience, and one day a friend of his noticed him pacing back and forth, and he asked the question, "What's the trouble?" And the preacher responded, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." stop and think about it, doesn't that really explain a lot that goes on in our lives sometimes? We're in a hurry. We feel it ought to be this way. We want to get going, get it moving. But one of the most frustrating things is to feel in your heart a passion, or perhaps you have a vision of what you feel God wants to be done, and then not see it taking place. It can be very, very frustrating. And you have to learn the lesson that it's not yours to decide when. It's God's. If you'll just take that simple little hint, it's not my decision to determine when. Sometimes God will say, arise. And then you arise when God says arise, you know, and go. Then you go. But there are times when there's nothing you can really do, and you have to just sit back and say, okay, God, I'm open, I'm willing. You show me, you tell me when, but wait upon the Lord and let God work through time and circumstances to bring it to a point where it, at the appropriate time, and you'll find that in the scripture so often, at the appointed time, right? That phrase? At the appointed time. There's a time for everything. We learn that in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. And there's a time for God and His working in your life. It's going to happen. Just give God the time to work it out. See, but He's God. He doesn't need the time. Well, no, but maybe we need the time. It's not a matter of God's limitations. It's a matter of our limitations. And we need the time. And God's allowing us to go through a certain period of time in our lives. And He's going to work some things out. But have enough confidence in the Lord that you'll let Him do what He wants to do and not always be dictating or trying to force something on what you think the plan of God ought to be for your life. You learn some valuable lessons if you'll do that. You know, we look to the scriptures, and it mentions here in the passage that I've read for you today, talked about the example that we have in verse 10 of brethren of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. These are men of God. They spoke in the name of the Lord. They were acknowledged as being prophets of the Lord. They were revered in their day. They were when they would speak and they were speaking prophetically, the people would listen. There was a certain honor given that. But there were many times they weren't speaking prophetically all the time. There are a lot of times when they were silent, when God wasn't speaking through them. And there were some times that you might, maybe they were times of spiritual drought where you just didn't hear it. So there were times when there was no message that was coming from the Lord. Didn't mean He didn't have prophets. He had prophets, but He was not speaking through the prophets for certain periods of time. Long periods of time. You know, some of you get a little frustrated when you get several days of rain. You say, well, one or two is okay, but I don't know if I get a week of rain, you're going to ruin my vacation or whatever. Listen, I'd rather have that than a drought. I've been through both, periods of rain and periods of drought. I'll tell you one thing, I would much rather have the rain than the drought. I know there are floods and all those, but we'll try to prepare for that and work around it. But I know what can happen in times of drought, especially long periods of it. And it's not a fun thing to go through. And there are sometimes you might think you're going through a drought spiritually. You've got to give God the respect and the honor that's due Him and let Him work it out. It may seem like a drought to you, but God could be working things out. And that's why you need to take advantage of those moments. Maybe that's a time for you to just wait upon the Lord to see what He will do. I think of a good example from the Old Testament, old brother Abraham, you know, Father Abraham. We know that God did work through the prophets, and Abraham's a good example of what I'm talking about this morning. If you go to Genesis 15, God promises a son to Abram. His name hasn't even been changed then. He eventually becomes Abraham in Genesis 15. And says he's going to bless, God's going to bless him, and a lot of great things are going to happen. And to do that, he's going to have a son. God's going to bless him with a son. Well, in Genesis 16, verse 1, you realize that Sarah, his wife, it's revealed that she's barren. That there, she's in the childbearing age, but she's barren. And so what happens? Well, we got to figure this one out because God promised something. And so what happens? Remember that fix-it mode we go into? Well, maybe it's through Hagar and, you know, maybe it's through some other means or whatever. You see, we try to fix it. We try to fix it. And look at what happens when we try to fix it. And God's not the one who's working. And we have a lot of turmoil in the Middle East today because, you know, there was an attempt there to try to fix something. And God only knows, you know, what's going to happen down the road, and we know that the future is uncertain, and you cannot take things in your hand. You cannot do things the way you want to do it, and God will allow some things to happen, but we will reap the results of that. And so you learn that Sarah is barren in chapter 16, and then it's not until Genesis 18. Verse 10, again, Abraham is promised a son. All these years go by. Sarah, at this point, is past childbearing age, and she laughs about it. Come on, you've got to be kidding me. God's got a sense of humor. Well, he does have a sense of humor, but be careful when you laugh. It might be at an inappropriate time. And then it's not until Genesis 21:5 we find out that Isaac is born and Abraham is 100 years old. Isn't that amazing? God promised him years earlier what was going to happen. And I'm sure during that time he's wondering about this. He trusted God and he was obedient to God, but there had to be some questions that were arising, and we see that in the behavior of Abraham with regard to Hagar and his household and how he was figuring things out. But isn't it amazing? Now, did God backtrack on his promise? No. Did he say, oh, well, you know, really, I didn't mean that. No, well, you were mistaken in what you thought. No. He was faithful to his promise. It just wasn't the way Abraham had thought it should be. But given enough time to let God be God, guess what? It happened. The promise was fulfilled. And it was miraculous. And I believe it was miraculous so that nobody could say otherwise, well, that's just, you know, that's just the result of human biology, I mean, we thought they were barren, but there was something happened there. And, you know, that's the way it is. No. If it had happened earlier, you could say in those childbearing years, well, you know, how do we know it's God? But God doesn't always do things in a neat and tidy way. He oftentimes stretches us so that we have to have faith to believe that what he said is true. We have to wait and see it happen. I wish God would answer prayer when I pray, God, I believe you can do it, but I want you to do it now, and that would be nice if he would do it now. Sometimes he does it now, but he doesn't always do it now. In fact, I find more often he doesn't do it now, and I still got to trust him. But I know this. This is my confidence this morning that he will do it. He'll do what he promised he would do. His word is true. I may be a little frustrated from time to time about it. I might want to go into that fixer mode and try to fix it. Beware, be careful, because that's not necessarily what God wants for you. I appreciate, you know, your willingness, some of you might have, to try to do that. Roll up your sleeves. Well, let's do it. You be careful. Make sure that it's in God's timing and God wants you to do it. But if you have the go-ahead from the Lord right now, then get busy and do it. Well, God didn't speak to me about such and such. Well, sometimes I don't always believe that. I believe because I don't know that some people have even taken it up with God. You know, some people say, well, I got to pray about it. I've mentioned this before, and they're still praying about it. I never heard from them again. You know, I think that there are some things that God, he kind of gets, he'll get the message to you pretty quick. And if there isn't a no, then you can, oftentimes, I think you have license to go right ahead and begin, and you see a need, then the Scripture says we ought to take, you know, respond to that need. So I'm not talking about those issues. I'm talking about other issues where we don't have a clue and probably shouldn't be involving ourselves in some things, but we have this idea that we're the fixers. We can do it. We need to be very careful in those kind of situations. So Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old, and God was faithful to the promise. We learn to be impatient at an early age. A four-year-old was at the dinner table, and he blurted out, "Pass the meat." And the mother responded, "What's the magic word?" And the little guy replied, "Now." You see, we get impatient, don't we? We learn at an early age. We need to know what the magic word is. And it's part of our job as parents to teach them what that is. But we can get that way. And it's a hard thing sometimes. It's part of the human nature. And some of us, that's just the way we're wired. That's just the way we are. And for some of us, it's perhaps a little bit more of a struggle than others. There are some human characteristics we need to grow beyond. It's part of the maturing process as we go through life. God values the life lived in faithful trust that the promises are true and will be fulfilled. Let me go back to our passage this morning. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient. You know, these are times when a lot of people are anxious. They don't know. They want to know. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. He uses the illustration of the planting of the seed, and it takes time. Some of you are out there, you're doing that planting right now, and you just can't wait. And you're going to get all excited when you see a little green start pushing its way through the soil. It's amazing, but what it takes to excite you. It's going to be a grand day for some of you. Whoa, it's coming up. A little bit of green just pushes its way up. And you see, because that represents the promise of what's to come. See? The promise of what's to come. But it took time to get it to that point. The early, the latter rain. It says, "You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may be not judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." And he talks about the long-suffering and patience. Look at the prophets as the examples who spoke in the name of the Lord. And then it says in verse 11, "We count those blessed who endured." Those who went through the time of testing, through the period of time when it didn't seem anything was happening. Sometimes it seems like everything's going wrong. It's not the way I thought. It's not the way I planned. And yet they're going through it. They're enduring. When you endure something, it's usually things that aren't fun. That's what, when we use the word endure, we're talking about stuff that is not pleasurable, usually. It's not pleasurable, and it's not fun. Isn't that interesting that it speaks of that with respect to the Christian life? Guess what? You're serving God. You love God. It doesn't mean everything's going to go your way all the time, and it's always going to be fun. There are going to be times when you just have to steadfastly endure. That's just the way it is. I can't change it. You can't change it. It's just the way it is. And sometimes I get a little frustrated with people who always paint Christianity. It's just fun and joy all the time, you know, and it's like one big circus that we're attending, you know. We're in the family of God. And well, there are some wonderful times, but there are a lot of times where, man, it's just endurance. You've got to persevere. You've got to hang in there. You've got to keep moving forward. And that's what character is. We need to have that kind of character built in our Christian walk with Christ. That our commitment to Christ depends not on what he's giving us, all the goodies that he gives us, all the joy times, the blessing times, the thrill times. Oh, no. It's based upon his word. It's based upon knowing who he is and knowing that we're a part of his family. We're children of God, and that God loves us in spite of what we're going through. It doesn't have to always be the way I want it to be. I can still serve God with joy in my heart, knowing I'm part of the family of God. And it means endurance. I've got to keep enduring, but I know the prize awaits me. prize awaits me, and it's worth more serving the Lord than not serving him. And if it means I have to endure some things, I'll do it, because the prize is worth it, and Jesus is worth it. And it talks about Jesus who endured the cross. If he can endure the cross for me, I can endure whatever life throws at me. I can endure it because of Jesus. He endured the cross. I'll endure whatever I'm facing. We're so tempted to complain from time to time. And God just asks of us to be faithful and to trust him. Abraham, be faithful. Yes, but God, here I am, 50 years old, I haven't seen the promise. God, here I am, 70, I can't see the promise. God, my wife, she's getting old. We're old people. Abraham, I've promised, and it's going to happen. At age 100, Isaac is born. You see, you got to hang in there. You got to be faithful. You've got to let God be God. We must let him be who he is and not waver in our commitment to serve him. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Somebody here today perhaps is frustrated in the way things have been going in life for them. You might be here. That might be you today. Maybe the Lord is speaking words of encouragement to you this hour, saying, you know, just hang in there. I've not left you. I haven't forgotten. I have a plan for you. Just hang in there. Be faithful now. And you're going to begin to see the unfolding of my will for you. There's blessing ahead if you just hang on to the promises of the Lord. Is that you, my friend? Are you the person standing in the need of prayer today? You just need to hear that from God. But you're willing to say, now I've heard from the Lord, and I'm going to stand on his promise. I'm going to be encouraged in my heart. I'm going to look to the Lord instead of my strength. I'm going to look to him and all these other things that I've been trying to fix and all that. Realize that there are some things I just won't be able to fix. God's going to do it. I have to cooperate with him. But I'm going to trust him instead of looking to what I'm able to do. I'm going to place it in his hands. I'm going to let God be God in my life. Is that you today? And you'd say, Lord, here I am. You just lift your hand and say, Lord, here I am. That's me. That's what I'm struggling with. And I'm just going to let you be God. Amen. 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 I don't understand it all, but I know that you've got it all in control. You're in charge. I'm done with trying to fix everything. I'm going to rely on you, Lord. And together, I'm going to believe that we're going to see this thing happen just the way you want. Now, as I pray, I want you to seal that commitment in your life. You make that commitment as I pray for you today. Jesus, you've seen those that have responded today that even now in their hearts, they're crying out to you saying, oh, God, help me. I need your help in this. I can't do it in myself. I've tried and it doesn't work. Lord, I'm turning it over to you, but I'm believing that you're going to help me and that you're going to give me the wisdom to know how to proceed. In the meantime, I'm going to have the patience to wait upon you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. You've not abandoned me. you're still there, and you have my best interest at heart, and you're going to bless me according to your word. And this morning, I just want to say, Lord, I hear what you're saying, and I will be obedient to you. Jesus, bless each one who's prayed that prayer. Just pause for a few moments. Let's let the Lord continue to just speak to us over these next few moments.
Let's take time to wait upon the Lord. Let's take time to listen to His voice. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So let's take time to wait upon the Lord.
Say, sing it again. Let's listen to the voice of God.
Let's take time to wait upon the Lord. Let's take time to listen to His voice. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So let's take time just to wait upon the Lord.
Praise God. Stand with me, if you will, throughout the congregation. Everyone stand. Let us be mindful of what God has been saying to us today through His Word. And let us purpose in our hearts to go from this place renewed in spirit, with firm resolve to press on and be faithful regardless of what we face, trusting the Lord that He will do what He's promised to do. And He will bless our lives as we faithfully serve Him. Jesus, as we prepare to leave this place in a few moments, I pray that whatever commitments have been made, whatever decisions have been made in this place today, even now perhaps there's somebody here that's making that commitment to serve you with their whole heart. Maybe there's somebody here who's had some questions answered and they're thanking you for. There are others, Lord, that you've given them a new sense of purpose and resolve. You're working in lives. As we leave this place, we don't leave your presence. Your presence goes with us to accomplish what you've called us to do. Heavenly Father, may your will be done in each and every life. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
Let's take time.